Today's share is Masechta Shavuos, Daf Chaf Hei. We will begin on Daf Chaf Hei Omer Aleph at the Mishnah towards the Tapir Amid. Says the Mishnah, in continuing to teach us what is considered a Shavuos Bitui. Echet Varam Shalatzmai, whether somebody makes a Shavuos that affects him himself, he makes a Shavuos that I will eat, he makes a Shavuos that I will not eat, Vechet Varam Shalacherim, or he makes a shvua that affects other individuals. Echad sheesh ben mamish, whether the shvua is on something that is tangible. The person makes a shvua that he will eat. Vechad varm sheem ben mamish, which the Mishnah is going to identify in a moment. All of these cases are considered a valid shvua. Ketzad. And the Mishnah illustrates. Omar, if somebody says, Shvu Shetan Lish Ploini, somebody says, I'm going to give something to somebody else. Or, Shloyetein, he makes a Shvu that he will not give something to somebody. That's a Shvu about the future. And similarly, if somebody makes a Shvu Shen or Sati, that I gave something to somebody. Or he makes a Shvu Shloy Nasati, that I did not give something to this individual. All of these cases are cases of valid shvuos, says the Gemara. Now says the Mishnah. Now to illustrate cases of a shvua shein b'mamish, if somebody makes a shvua sheishan that he will sleep, or he makes a shvua shelo yishan that he will not sleep. Somebody makes a shvua sheyashanti that I slept, or somebody makes a shvua shelo yashanti that I did not sleep. Somebody makes a shvua sheezrik tzrol yam, if I will throw this stone into the ocean, or Shloy Ezrik, he makes a shvua that he will not, or he makes, that's in the future, or he makes a shvua Shazarakti, that I did throw something into the yam, or he makes a shvua Shloy Zarakti, those are considered shvua She'en Behem Mamish. And all the Rishonim, as they speak about these examples of shvua She'en Behem Mamish, understand why sleeping is a shvua She'en Behem Mamish. Because there's nothing tangible about sleeping. But the question that they ask is, how do we understand this example when we speak about Shvua? How do we understand the Shvua Shloi Ezrik? It's tangible. So they explain that there are two elements, and there are two examples of a Shvua She'en Behem Mamish. One is, as we just said, not sleeping or sleeping. Sleeping is not a tangible thing. So since sleeping is not something which is tangible, that's why we understand it's a shvua she'en behem mamish. But when we speak about Ezrik Tzrol Yam, even if we can actually suggest that there's an element of tangibility to it, there's a stone that is being thrown or not being thrown, but it's not when we speak about this shvua, there's nothing significant about this shvua. And since there's nothing significant about the shvua, that's why it's not considered a shvua. It's not considered a shvua sheish by mamish. Throwing something into the yam doesn't really make a difference. Rabbi Shmuel Eimer says, Rabbi Shmuel, and we've had the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel taught us many times in our shiurim. Says the Gemara, "Ein a chayiv, there's no chayiv shvua el lasulavoi." Only a shvua which speaks about the future. Because he says, let's look at the wording of the pasuk. Shenemar, the pasuk says, a nefesh ki shishav levat besvasayim, lahara o lahetiv. So the pasuk speaks about the future. And therefore, says Rabbi Shmuel, the chiyuv of kavan oil v'yorid for a shvua spiti, which has been a primary subject of this mesechta, is in a case of only the future. So Rabbi Kiva says, "Im kain." So if you are correct in your assertion, "Im kain ein el dvarim sheish ben harav atava," then the halacha ought to be that there's only a shvua regarding situations that speak about something good or bad, because the pasuk speaks about harav atava. How will we know? Ask the Gemara when we have a situation dvarim sheish ben harav atava, situations that don't have that element. How do we know that would be, like we just gave examples, throwing a rock into the ocean? throwing a rack into the ocean doesn't represent hara or tava, doesn't represent good or bad. So why would that be considered a valid shvua? What do you have to say? Meribe kosov. The reason Amaloi, Rishmo responds, why is that considered a valid shvua? Because the pasuk says l'chol ashiyifta, which comes to include all types of situation. Says back to Rekiva to Rishmo Amaloi. So Rekiva says back to Rishua, Emriva kosov l'kach. If you're going to say that the pasuk is expanding on what is included in a valid shvua, Riba kosov l'kach, we're going to have to say that I will tell you that's also speaking about the future. The pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Chacham mehem alara, lahetiv layada. So he explains, the pasuk we just said, lahara lahetiv. And what is the definition of lahara lahetiv as we often discuss in our shurim? Lahara means la'oichel, that somebody will not, says a shur that he will not eat. And lahetiv is a shur that he will eat. So he says, says the close Magrebezatzal, that's pshat in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. There are chacham heim lahara. There are people that know and think the way to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu lahara. A person has to withhold himself, not eat, fast, withhold himself from olam, from being able to do things in olam hazeh. Laharam heim lahara. They are chachamim to understand that that's a way to serve Hashem. Lahetiv, but to recognize that we could serve Hashem lahetiv by doing things that are positive. You could serve Hashem with gashmius, that you eat and do gashmius to good things, but you do them l'shem shemayim lo yoda, that they didn't know. And that level of avodas Hashem, a level of avodas Hashem that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not by depriving ourselves, but to actually use what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us in this world, but use it in a positive way towards avodas Hashem, that's a much higher level. And the Navi says, Lahara, they know how to serve Hashem in fasting, but Lahetiv, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way of using Olam Hazeh, which that is a greater level, Layoda, they don't know. Tana Rabbanan continues the Gemara. The Braisa teaches us, Chaimim ben Adarim b'Shvus. The Dorm have something which makes them more unique than Shvus. And Chaim b'Shvus ben Adarim. And Shvus have something different than the Dorm. Chaim ben Adarim, Shen Dorm chal dovet mitzvah kedvar Shvus. If somebody says, I'm not going to sit in the sukkah, or I'm not going to take a lulav, the nether is chal, even though it's a dvar mitzvah. Mash enkein b'Shvus, when we speak about Shvus, as we've discussed so very extensively in our shiurim already here in Masechta Shvus, that you can't make a shvua levatel sa mitzvah. One cannot make a shvua to nullify a mitzvah. On the contrary, mujba vaymidhu, we're all obligated to fulfill the mitzvahs. V'chaim b'shvus, and on the other hand, shvus have a chumra, sheshvus chalas al dov she'en b'mamish, as we just learned, somebody can make a shvua regarding sleeping, v'al dov she'esh b'mamish, eating, Mashenkim and Nadarim, Nadarim can only be effective in something that is tangible. And sleeping is not considered something tangible. Why is there such a difference between Shvus and Nadarim? So the Gemara Masechta and Nadarim, Daf Tezayin Amud Beis teaches us. The Pasuk says, Ish Kiyida Neder Lashem, Ayishav Shvua Layachal Dvarim. The Pasuk teaches us as follows, that the Pasuk teaches us that when it comes to making a shvua, levatel sa mitzvah, it will not be effective, because when it comes to levatel a mitzvah by a neder, it will be, because since the person said koinem yeshiva sukkah lai, the neder is going to work by shvuas, because he's making the sukkah asur. When we speak about mitzvahs, the obligation for us to do a mitzvah is a personal obligation. One is obligated to do a mitzvah. So when I make a shvua that I won't do the mitzvah, that shvua cannot be effective. Whereas when I make a shvua on the sukkah, that I won't walk into the sukkah, I'm not making a shvua that I'm not going to sit in the sukkah, that I am obligated to do so. And that's why it is effective. On the other hand, we just said that Nedarim have to be on Davar Sheyesh by Mamish, and Shvuos don't. And the simple pshat is that the difference between a Shvuah and a Neder is a Shvuah is an Issa Gavra. It speaks to the person. And a Neder is an Issa Chefza. It speaks to the object. And therefore, you can't make a Neder on a person because a Neder is on an object. And therefore, the Braisa just taught us that a Neder is only effective in a Davar Sheyesh by Mamish. But it goes a little further. As we've said in our Shiurim, the halach is that that neder is really an extension of a form of koinim, a form of hegdish. You can only make something tangible hegdish. Something which is not tangible cannot be made into hegdish. So now we understand why neder can't be on neder can only be effective on a davar sheyesh by mamish, because only something tangible is a davar sheyesh by mamish. But, as we said at the beginning of our shiur, the Mishnah gave us two examples of a davar sheyesh by mamish. Shina, sleeping, and Zarek Tzorah L'yam. And when we learned the Mishnah, we explained that why is Zarek Tzorah L'yam? Why is throwing a stone into the yam considered a davar sheyesh by mamish? So we explained, because it doesn't have any benefit. There's nothing meaningful around that. So explains the Ran. Now that we said that the issue of She'ezek Tzorah L'yam, the reason it's considered a davar sheyesh by mamish, is not because it doesn't really have anything real attached to it, but rather the issue is because it doesn't make a difference. So if somebody would make a neder She'ezek Tzorah L'yam, at the end of the day, he's making a neder on something that's tangible. And we've been learning now that if you make a neder on something that's tangible, that neder would be a valid neder. And therefore, in such a case, somebody makes this type of a neder, even though in the Mishnah it's called a davar sheyesh by mamish, as far as Hilchos Nedarim are concerned, it will be considered a valid neder. Ketzad explains the Mishnah, Am Shvuah She'etan Pliny. If somebody makes a Shvuah that I'm going to give something to somebody else, or Shloy Etan, my Etan, what does that mean? Ilema, if we're talking about he's going to make a Shvuah that he's going to give Tztaka Lani, he's going to give Ani Tztaka, why would that be a valid Shvuah? Mojbevayim Mahar Sinaihu. Again, we keep on learning that a Shvuah on a Dvar Mitzvah is not considered a valid shvuah because I already am obligated to do it. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, regarding our obligation to give tzedakah, noson titen loy. Ella, we're speaking about when somebody made a neder of giving a matana l'asha. To give a matana to a wealthy person, there's no mitzvah involved in that, and that's why it would be a valid shvuah. The Rashba teaches us that he quotes Rabbi Nesenu HaTzarfasin, who says that when we speak about, as we're learning now, the obligation to give tzedakah, there are certain parameters around that. He says only when somebody is asking for tzedakah is the obligation to give tzedakah. That in that case do we say mujbe v'oymer that he's obligated to give the tzedakah. But if he's not being asked to give tzedakah, the chiyuv tzedakah d'oraisa does not obligate us to go out and give him to look for an ani to give him tzedakah. That's one point that he makes. So according to that, the Gemara could have actually said that we're talking about a case where the ani did not ask for the tzedakah, and there it wouldn't be a nishba. It would not be considered swearing to give a mitzvah, because under those circumstances there's no chiyuv. The Ora Chaim, however, in his Sefer Rishon LeTzion, has a different approach. He bases his approach on the Rambam. He says that although there's no mitzvah asay to give that there's no mitzvah lois asay to not if one is not approached by an oni, That means, if the way I understand the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, if I know that there's a poor person and I don't, and he, but he hasn't asked me for tzedakah, and I don't therefore give him tzedakah, it's not considered a violation of the mitzvah, the lois say of lois achbaitz, that you're not allowed to hold back lisam mitzvah levavcha, lois sikbetz es yotcha machicha avyan. It's not considered a violation of that lav, but it is considered, he says, a violation of the mitzvah say. The one has a mitzvah say to give tzedakah. And when one, that mitzvah say doesn't just say that when somebody comes to me for tzedakah, I have to give him tzedakah, but he suggests that the mitzvah say requires that I should look to give tzedakah. And actually, I think that this machlokes, which is the way the Or HaChaim explaining it, machlokes rishonim, really speaks to a much more fundamental question. We know, and it's something to say the, it's the right thing, that people separate ma'aser, separate 10% from their earnings for tzedakah. And the question is that a minig? Is that something that's a nice thing to do? Or is that an obligation? It could be that the Rajbah's opinion is that we have, that there's a mitzvah to give tzedakah, but since we don't have to look to give tzedakah, it will not be considered a mitzvah to say to even have to separate ma'aser. Whereas according to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, it would be a mitzvah to say. The Rajba over there continues that not only that is there only a mitzvah to give tzedakah when approached, but he says the mitzvah to give tzedakah when somebody's approached is only to satisfy what that person who's asking you for tzedakah immediate need. But if somebody is asking for tzedakah, according to him, there's not an obligation to give more than the immediate need. The Shevet Alevi says that even though that there is no mitzvah to give more than what the ani needs immediately, doesn't mean that you're not mekayim a mitzvah when you give him more. He's saying what the chiv deraisa is. The chiv deraisa is to give him what he needs immediately. But it's not, but of course, if somebody gives an ani more than that, says the Shevet Alevi, doing so is certainly considered that you are, fulfilling a mitzvah and is something to be commended. Continues the Gemara. If somebody made a shvur she'ishin shloishin, if he made a shvur that he's going to sleep, he made a shvur that he won't sleep. Eini, ask the Gemara that it seems, if we learn Pshat in the Mishnah, the Pshat in the Mishnah is if somebody makes a shvur that he won't sleep, what he means to say with that shvur is that he will never sleep. And the question is, why would that be considered a valid shvur? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, ask the Gemara, hasn't Rabbi Yochanan taught us, ha'ayim ha'shvur shloshin shloshin yomim, if somebody makes a shvur that he won't sleep for 3 days, malkan o'soy, he gets malkas for yoshin, and then he could sleep right away, because since the shvur that he made is a shvur that is impossible to fulfill, then the halacha is that the shvur is nothing. So why over here does it seem that it would be a valid shvur? Answers the Gemara, hasam the amar shloisha. In a case where the person said, I'm not going to sleep for 3 days, and as we're learning now, it's impossible to fulfill that. So that's why you get malchus, and you can sleep right away. Hacha delay amar shloisha. He didn't say 3 days, and what he meant, interprets the Gemara, is that he only means that he's not going to sleep the amount of time that he could hold out not sleeping. But if he could sleep, but as soon as he can't hold out, that the shvur is not affecting. And therefore, it's a valid shvur. So our Gemara has spoken about sleeping, when is sleeping, and what is the halacha of that type of a shvur. The Rambam says that if somebody swears not to eat something for 7 days, he will get malchus for saying a shvur again, because it's impossible to exist for a period of 7 days without food. Rabbi Akiva Eiger points out that the Rambam speaks about somebody who says he's not going to eat, he's going to fast for 7 days. But if he swears not to eat, that the Rambam doesn't speak about.
says Rabbi Akiva Eiger that the Rambam is of the opinion that saying that I'm not going to eat is for 7 days is not a shvu shav, because he's only usur from eating achila, as we learned earlier in Amasachta, always means a kazayis, and a person could exist for 7 days without eating food at the portion size of a kazayis. However, and even though, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, as we also discussed earlier in Amasachta, that when you say something that a shir, chotzi shir asur min haTorah, it may not necessarily be the case, as we have discussed quite extensively regarding shvuos. The Ran disagrees with the Rambam, and he says that there's a difference between somebody who swears that he won't sleep versus somebody who swears that he won't eat. He says, somebody makes a shvuah that he's not going to eat, it's called a shvuah shav, because it's a physical impossibility. The person will inevitably fall asleep before the end of a 3-day period. When somebody, however, swears not to eat food for an extended period, it's not a physical impossibility. There's nothing forcing a person to eat. He will die of starvation if he doesn't eat, but there's nothing forcing him to eat. So therefore, says the Ran, if somebody makes a shvua not to eat for 7 days, it's considered a shvua. The fact that he's going to end up eating, because otherwise he's going to be in sakonis nefashis, the fact that he's going to end up being in sakonis nefashis doesn't mean that the shvua wasn't a good shvua. But then the Ran wants to suggest that even if somebody makes a shvua that he's not going to eat for 7 days, the shvua won't be considered a valid shvua. He says, because it's going to be considered, as we've discussed many times in our shiurim, a situation of shvua l'avras ha-mitzvah. And as we've discussed many times, in today's shiur, that any shvua l'avras ha-mitzvah is not a valid shvua. We're mushbe v'oymed. And since we, of course, may not put ourselves into a place of physical danger, so therefore, that shvua is not going to be able to be considered a valid shvua, because it's considered a shvua l'avras ha-mitzvah. So I saw along these lines that making a shvua or doing something, what is in the category of shvua l'avras ha-mitzvah? The Chashuki Chemed discusses a situation where there was somebody who had a serious heart condition, and he was told that he has to have a heart transplant. This patient that we're discussing lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he traveled to Chutz Laaretz to have that surgery. As he's waiting in Chutz Laaretz to have that surgery, he felt much better than he has felt in a very long time. And since he felt so much better than he has in a very long time, he wanted to cancel the surgery. The doctors examined him, and they said that you still are a patient that very much needs this surgery. And therefore, the question is, should he have the surgery or should he not have the surgery? We're learning over here, as we discussed, that just like the Rambam says, that if somebody makes a shvua that he won't eat for 7 days, it's considered a shvua shav, because you have to eat. And as the Ran just finished explaining, that shvua would not be considered a valid shvua, but to make a shvua that goes against what the Torah tells us, where the Torah says we have to do everything to stay alive, would be considered a shvua levatlas a mitzvah. Here too, the Torah says that we have an obligation for shmartem es nafshaseichem. The Torah says v'achastim chol nafshaseichem edrosh. We are obligated to do whatever we have to do to remain healthy. And if that is the case, the issue now is that is somebody refusing to have the surgery, which the doctors feel is important, is necessary, is considered going against what the Torah says. And even though in Hilchos Shabbos, we often discuss, a person who does need or doesn't need a procedure on Shabbos, the halacha is that there's a concept of levi dei maris nafshei. A person knows best what he needs. But the Bi'alocha says in Simen Shin Chav Ches, Sif Yud Divrei HaMaskel V'Roifei, that if a patient, as much as the patient knows the situation, but if a doctor tells him, you need to have a treatment and on Shabbos, and the patient says, no, we listen to the doctor. So he says, so what is the halacha l'maisa? So he says that, as we just quoted the Bi'ar Halacha, it does seem that we follow the recommendation of the doctor and not what the patient is saying. But he said when this question was posed to Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal made an interesting observation. He says Rabbi Yoshev asked that the reality is that what the patient is saying is presumably true. And the patient is saying that he feels so much better now and he doesn't feel that he needs to have the surgery. And what needs to be understood and asked is if the patient, why is that the case? And therefore he says that as much as we should listen to what the doctors say, we should also challenge the doctors and ask the doctors, why does this patient feel so much better? Why does this patient feel so much better that he feels that he doesn't need to have the surgery where he started off not feeling this way? And the doctors, according to Rabbi Yoshev, do have some level of obligation of explaining to us that medical phenomena. But if there is a good explanation and the doctors say that the patient still needs the surgery, of course we should do what the doctors say. Continues the Gemara. If somebody made a shvua, shezruk tzrol yam, I'm going to throw this rock into the yam. Or he made a shvua shaloy yasruk, that I will not throw it in. Says the Gemara, itmar, shvua shezorek ploni tzrol yam. If somebody makes a shvua that this person threw a rock into the sea, or he makes a shvua shaloy zorek, that he didn't say, make such a shvua, that he did not do something like that. Rav Amar, if it turns out that this was not true, and he made the shvua b'shagig, then he's chayiv. The Shmuel Amar, he's going to be chayiv a carbon oil of a yer, the Shmuel Amar potter. Rav Amar chayiv. Rav says that he's chayiv because Rav says that in order that a shvua should be considered a valid shvua, it has to be a shvua that can be expressed. These say belavahein, that can be expressed in the positive, in the negative, and that's the case. Because here, a shvua could be made that he did or he didn't. The Shmuel Mapata, but Shmuel's opinion is that it's not considered a valid shvua. The Leisa Belhaba, I can't make a shvua that somebody will or won't do something because I don't control what somebody will do. Says the Gemara, Lema Puluk, the Rishma, Rabbi Kiva, Kamilfagi. So the Gemara suggests that the Mechloikis of Rav and Shmuel is the same machlokes that we had in our Mishnah between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. However, the Rishonim point out that this machlokes that we're learning here is only regarding the carbon oil of a yoyed element of making a shvua b'shagig, that's not true. But regarding malchus that one gets for making a shvua b'mezid, everybody will agree that he will get malchus. So says the Gemara, the Tanan, as we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Amar in a chayiv, you're not chayiv for a shvua, ela ala osad lovay, only for the future, shenem ala horo ala hetiv, and Amar Rabbi Kiva, as we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Shua, imken eni ala dvar m'shesh ben arroa batava, if you're going to take the pasuk literally, then the shvua should only be valid on situations that are about arroa batava. However, Dvarm Sheim Ben Harova Tova, and the example that we're learning now is the perfect example, where you speak about throwing something into the sea. Menayin, how do we know that that is a valid shvua? Amalei Twitcher of Yishmael responded, Meribe HaKosev, because as we learned, the Pasuk says, L'chol HaShiyavata, to expand that it's not only in cases of Lahar L'Hetiv. To which Rabbi Kiva said, Amalei, Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Yishmael, you're saying that the pasuk is speaking about not just harova tova, riba kosel kach, that it's speaking also about the past. So says the Gemara, Rav will presumably agree with Rabbi Kiva. The Shmuel Amar, the Rabbi Shmuel, who limits what the shvua could be. And if it's a shvua that could only be about the past and not about the future, it's not a valid shvua. Says the Gemara, I leave it to Rabbi Shmuel, kulam leplegi.
everybody will agree, according to Shmuel, that somebody said that a shvua shezarek pliny tzura l'yom. Somebody makes a shvua that somebody did something will not be a valid shvua. Because, hash the milsa de isa b'labo, when we have a situation, when we have a shvua that can be said about the future, loy mechayv l'ar v'shmuel l'shover, even though it's, but if it's framed about the past, Rabbi Shmuel has been teaching us, it's not a valid shvua. So milsa the lesser balabo, when you have a shvua that cannot be articulated into the future. Again, a shvua that I say that somebody will do something, and I don't control what that person will be will do, that certainly is not a valid shvua. Ki pligi, where do we have the machloikus? I'll leave it to Rekiva, according to Rekiva. The Rav says like a Rekiva, because Rav says that any shvua that speaks about the past is a valid shvua, which is presumably what Rabbi Kiva has been teaching us. With Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, yes, Rabbi Kiva holds that a shvua about the past is a valid shvua. But says the Gemara, at Kalaka Mechayv Rabbi Kiva Hasam, when does Rabbi Kiva say that a shvua for the past is a valid shvua? Elo the Milsa Disabalaba, which is a shvua that can also be said about the future. Therefore, in such a circumstance, Mechayev Rabbi Kiva L'shavar, Rabbi Kiva says that a shvua about the past will also be a good shvua. Aval, when you have a situation of midi de lesser b'labo, a shvua that is not valid regarding the future, that type of situation, even though says Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva says a shvua about the past is a valid shvua, but he's going to require that it could be stated into the future. And if it cannot be stated into the future, then Rabbi Kiva will agree that it's not a valid shvua. So says the Gemara, Lema Pflukta, so we should say to Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel that in order for a shvua to be considered a valid shvua, it has to be a shvua that can be said about the future and about the past. Says the Gemara, perhaps this is the machloikus of Rehud ben Bsei Rabbana Kamifki, the Tanan. If somebody makes a shvua, levatal sa mitzvah, to not do one of the mitzvahs of Torah, v'loy bitel, and he then end up doing what he swore, the halacha is his potter. Because the entire shvua was never a valid shvua, because you never had a right, as we keep on learning, to make a shvua, levatal sa mitzvah. In a case of somebody made a shvua l'kayim as a mitzvah, to fulfill a mitzvah, and then l'kayim, he didn't fulfill that mitzvah, potter, he's also potter. Now, says the Braisa, if we really wanted to think about this, hoy b'din sh'yichayek d'Rabbi Yehuda ben Bseira, that if somebody made a shvua that he's going to do a mitzvah, and he didn't do the mitzvah, we can make a strong argument that is a shvua. Because says Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, Dom Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, Ma'am Rishus, if somebody makes a shua about something which is a Rishus, the example we've been learning, throwing a stone into the Yam, Shenim Mujbal Mahar Sinai, we're not obligated to do something like that. The halacha is it's considered a valid shua, and a Rayu Chayvala is Chayv for violating that shua. So mitzvah. So our obligation to do a mitzvah, of course, is much more serious. Because Shemushma Lema Har Sinai, we're obligated to do mitzvahs. Ein Adin Sheikhayv La. So certainly somebody who violates that shvua should be considered chayiv. Amaloi, so the Rav Chaim respond to Rehuda. If somebody makes a shvua about something which is not something I'm obligated, Shabayin Osma Lav Kahain. Because that's the type of shvua that could be said in the positive or negative. It's not something I'm obligated to do. So since it's not a mitzvah that I'm obligated to do, I could say I can make a shvua that I will do it, and I can make a shvua that I won't do it. Time of b'shvus mitzvah, whereas when we speak about a mitzvah, where there's no option, shekein loy osba laf kahein, I don't have the option of making a shvua that I won't do it. I'm mushbev oimid, I'm obligated to do the mitzvah. Neima, so says the Gemara wants to suggest, after having just learned this machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, the Gemara wants to suggest that this machloikus is the same machloikus of Rav and Shmuel. Rav, who says that if somebody made a shvua, that somebody did this, somebody did something, holds like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that the his halacha, his opinion is that the shvua does not have to be said belav hein, because it's still a valid shvua. As we just said, Rabbi Yehuda ben Peser says, I can make a shvua to do a mitzvah, even though I'm not obligated to do the mitzvah. The Shmuel, who holds that the shvua has to be said, has to be able to be done belav hein, will hold like the Rabbanan. And therefore, if I make a shvua that somebody threw something into the yam, it's and not something that I can make a perfect shvua about, because I can't make a shvua that he will do it or won't do it. Says the Gemara, I'll leave the Rabbi Yehuda ben Peser kolam pligi. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Peser, the halacha certainly will be like Rav. Hash the lava hein loy boy. Rabbi Yehuda ben Peser is teaching us that you don't have to be able to say a shvua in the positive and the negative. Because as we keep on saying, Rabbi Yehuda ben Peser says, making a shvua that you're going to do a mitzvah is a valid shvua. Even though that's a shvua that cannot be said in the lav, that I won't do it. So then, certainly, la'abal l'shav abayi, can we suggest that Rabbi Yehuda ben Peser is going to require that a shvua is only considered a valid shvua, it can be expressed in the past and the future. And therefore, if I express a shvua that somebody will do something, which I can't control, so therefore I don't control the future, the shvua of l'shava won't be a good shvua. Rabbi Yehuda ben Peser certainly can't hold that way. But says the Gemara, where do we have the machlokes of Rabbi Kiva and the where do we have the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel? Ki pligi, leave it to Rabbanan. Shmuel k'Rabbanan. Shmuel holds like the Rabbanan that you have to have a lav hein, and you have to be able to make the shvua about the future. Rabbanan lo mechayev Rabbanan b'lav hein. Rav holds that when the Rabbanan hold that the shvua is only a valid shvua, it's if it can be expressed lav hein, positive and negative. The ksiv, the lahar lahayta behedja. The Torah clearly indicates that the shvua is about the future. Lahara ulahaytiv. Ava balabolish over. But when we speak about a shvua, about the future and the past, the Merbui croaks also, the day the Torah taught us that such shvuas are valid, Mechaivi, the Rabbanan will say that any way that that type of a shvua is expressed is a valid shvua, even if it cannot be said towards the future. Masr Rav Amnuna, so Rav Shmuel has been teaching us that a shvua is only a valid shvua if it could be spoken about the future and the past. As the Gemara we're going to learn in the Mishnah Daf Chof Tesom Beis, if somebody made a shvua loichalti ayoyim, oloinachti tefillin ayoyim, and somebody made that statement, and that person who heard me make that statement says, Mashbiach ani, are you ready to swear to this? Vam amen, he says, amen, it's considered a valid shvua, and if it's a false shvua, it's considered that he did an aveira. Bishlam loichalti, so ask the Gemara in understanding the declarations in that Mishnah. Bishlama, if somebody makes a declaration, lo yichalti, so that I can understand why Shmuel will hold is a valid shvua. Because just like I can make a shvua on the past that I did not eat, I can make a shvua about the future that I shall not eat. Disa, lo yichal, I can make a shvua that I will not eat. Ela nachti, if somebody makes a shvua that he didn't put on tefillin, mi isa, lo yaniach, it's a shvua that can be made about the past. But it's not a shvua that can be made about the future. A person has an obligation to put on tefillin. And if Shmuel's saying that the only time a shvua is a valid shvua is if it can be said both in the past and the future, why would that be? Why would the statement of Leinachti tefillin be a valid shvua? Says the Gemara, Hu Maisalav Hu Mefarakla. It was Rav Amnuna that asked this question, he answers. Let's start them, Ktani. The way to understand that Mishnah is lo yichalti. If somebody makes a shvua, the lo yichalti, so he'll be chayiv, and then it's not true. He'll be chayiv carbon oil of a yard if he made that b'shagid. When it comes to lo yinachti, that as we spoke previously, when somebody makes a shvua b'mezid, the halacha is that shvua Chayiv Malkus, and all these requirements that we're speaking about, a shvua being considered a valid shvua, are not relevant. If that's the case, so now we could understand why in such a case the shvua will be effective for Hilchus Malkus. Masav Rava asks Rava, Ezi Shvua Shav,
Nishma l'shana says yidu l'adam. What's the definition of a shvua shav? Somebody made a shvua to say something which is l'shana says yidu, to say something which is patently not true. Oma, for example, he said an omet shel oven on something made out of stone, shushel zav that was made out of gold. Vama ula, b'hu shenik l'shlesh me'adam. It's only in the case where three people realize what I'm saying is not true. Thomas, so what do we see? The why is it considered a shvua shav? Because it's nicker, it's obvious that what I'm saying is not true. Halai nicker, were it not to be that way, ayu mishum shvius b'itoy. But ask the Gemara, if Shmuel is correct, amai, Shmuel is saying that a shvua could only be a shvua if it's possible for the past and the future. You can't make a shvua of Yehei Shel Zav that this stone item should become gold. So why is it considered a valid shvua? Answers the Gemara, who Meisel of whom Farkla? Rava was the one that asked the question, and Rava was the one that answered the question. Says the Gemara, Iver Mishim Shvua Shav, Nikar Iver Mishim Shvav, Loi Nikar Iver Mishim Shvav Sheker. It has nothing, these halachas that we're learning in our Shia today are regarding Shvua Spitui. But this has nothing to do with Shvua Spitui. This has to do with Shvua Shav, and therefore, since it has to do with Shvua Sheker, the requirements of Hain, the Lav, past and future, aren't there. So the Gemara says if somebody made a Shvua that lo yinachti tefillin, it's not a valid Shvua, because you cannot make a Shvua about the future. You can't make a Shvua that I will not put on tefillin. So many Rishonim ask the question that there are days that we don't put on tefillin, Shabbos and Yontif. So to that question, they answer that this Gemara is going to have to follow the opinion that Shabbos and Yontif are Zman Tefillin. But then there's another question. A person is not obligated to wear Tefillin all of the time. So since a person is not obligated to wear Tefillin all the time, when he makes the Shua that I will not put on Tefillin, why is that not considered a valid Shua? He could put on Tefillin for a moment and be Mekayim the Mitzvah. So there's two ways of answering it. The simple way of answering that question is, let's see what he said. He said that I will not put on tefillin. By making a statement that I will not put on tefillin, what this person is saying is, I won't put on tefillin at all that day. And that's not, of course, permissible, because we're obligated to put on tefillin every day. That's one way of learning. The other way of explaining is that although we don't wear tefillin all day, we need to understand, what does that mean that we don't wear tefillin all day? It doesn't mean that we don't have an obligation to wear tefillin all day. We have to put on tefillin every day, but we don't have an obligation to wear tefillin all day. If that's the case, so then indeed somebody can make a shvua, I won't put on tefillin, and he'll fulfill the mitzvah in one moment, and the rest of the day he doesn't have to wear tefillin. But the way many mefarshim look at this Gemara is that actually there's an obligation to wear tefillin all the time. We, because of various reasons, our bodies aren't clean, our minds aren't there, therefore we don't wear tefillin all the time. But that doesn't mean that there is an obligation to wear tefillin all the time. And since there is an obligation to wear tefillin all the time, somebody makes a shvua that he won't wear tefillin, is considered he's making a shvua levatal as a mitzvah. Continues the Gemara. The pasuk speaks about the halacha of making a shvuas ha'edus. And the Torah says that if somebody is approached that I know edus on your behalf, and I swear falsely that I don't, and then it turns out that what I said is not true, it was b'shaygig, I bring a carbon oil of a yerid. Amar Abaya. So says in the Gemara that even though Rav has been teaching us when we speak about Shvua Spitui, it doesn't have to be a Shvua that has to be that can be said Lahaba or Lashavar. May the Rabbi Aimel Chaver Shvua Shani Yoidel Chaedis. If somebody says I make a Shvua that I know Edis, Vishtak the Lo Yodelei, and then it turns out that he doesn't, the Potter. Hoyel Veles Bechlal Shani Yoidel Chaedis. If somebody swore I don't know Edis, that's not a shvua spitui. And therefore, this is not a shvua that has to be lavahein.
Says the Gemara, Yodati, if somebody swears, I know Edus. Somebody swears, Lo Yodati, that I don't know Edus. And both of these are cases, it's not considered a Shvuas or Edus, because this person doesn't need my testimony. Says the Gemara, that case will be subject to the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel. It have to be l'sh'ov l'haba. Because this shvua that cannot be said into the future. Nobody could say, I will know Edus. And this, since that's not in my control, therefore, the halach is that is a machloikis of Rav and Shmuel. Similarly, if somebody said, hey, adati, or lo adati, I did say testimony on your behalf, I didn't say testimony on your behalf, again, is a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Because I could say that I didn't say, or I did say testimony on your behalf, but I cannot say that I will say testimony, I don't know what's going to be. Bishlam l'shmuel dam amisl d'leisa b'l'haba, lo amichai v'lov sh'aba, that according to Shmuel, the shvua has to be both in the past and the future. L'hochi, now we could understand why the Torah taught us a new parsha of Shvuas Ha'edus and not included in the parsha of Shvuas Pitui, because Shmuel says Shvuas Pitui has to be able to be said l'haba l'avar, and this cannot be said l'haba and l'shavar. El l'rav, but according to Rav, that even Shvuas Pitui doesn't have to be said l'habel l'sha'avar, l'may hilchsaf g'rachmona, why did the Torah single out the Shavuos Ha'edus? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbanan kamei d'abaya, Rabbanan said in front of Abaya, l'chayve tarti, to mimchayv him, that when somebody makes this type of shvua, both for Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos Pitui. Amalu, to which Abaya said, tati l'matzat amrit, you can't say that a person is going to have to bring two common oil of yoyrids in such a situation. The Tanya, because the Brisa teaches us, the Pasuk says in the parasha of Karban Oil of Yared, V'hoye ki yeshem l'achas me'ela, and we learn from here, l'achas atum chayvay, you only chayv one Karban Oil of Yared, v'yatum chayv shtayim, you can't be chayv two Karban Oil of Yareds. Ulabaya, but ask the Gemara, Ulabaya l'may hilchas afke rechmana, why did the Torah have to teach us, according to Abaya, that didn't agree this way, why does the Torah say this Pasuk? L'chatanya. Bekulam, by all the Averis of Karban Oil and V'yorid, the Torah says V'nelam, that the Averis was done B'shoyig. Kan, where it talks about the Shavuos Ha'edus, Loinam of V'nelam, to teach us a very B'chiddush. L'chayiv al-Mezik B'shoyig, that even if somebody swore falsely, deliberately, a Shavuos Ha'edus, is going to be a Karban Oil of V'yorid. Amar Le Rabbanan Labaya, so Rabbanan said to Abaya, Ema, that somebody says, somebody made a Shavuos Ha'edus falsely, deliberately, Mechayev Chada, and B'shagig, Mechayev Tarti. Says the Gemara, to which Abaya said, Lav Hanid Amri, La'achas, because then he'll be violating both Shavuos Pitui, which has to be a Shagig, and Shavuos Ha'edus, which doesn't have to be Shavuos Ha'edus. Amale said, Abaya to them, Lav Hanid Amri, the pasuk we just quoted said la'achas, achas atem chayv v'yat mechayv v'shtaim. V'be mezid, if it's talking about mezid, me katarti. Rav Amar, the pasuk that says la'achas me'ela is not here to teach us that shuas ha'edus you don't bring two kabanas for. B'shem davidovah shebeklal, shuas ha'edus, as we've been learning, is really supposed to be in the category of shuas bitui. V'yotza by lidim davachadish, that the halacha is that only a person who could say testimony to violate a Shavuos Ha'edus, and that's what the Pasuk says, Ein Leibel Chudosh Bilvad. Mechlal Dabai Sover. So asking more based on what Rav is saying, is it not the opinion of Abaya that Isil Shavuos Ba'olam, that somebody who makes a Shavuos Ha'edus is also violating a Shavuos Pitui? Hom Abaya, that there we just learned that Abaya says that even though Rav says by Shavuos Ha'bitui it doesn't have to be both the future and the past, but by Shavuos Ha'edus, so how are we saying that Shavuos Ha'edus according to Abaya is a form of a Shavuos Pitui? Says the Gemara, how by Abaya mehi? Abaya retracted from that position. Rabbi Yisayim, another teretz, Chad Menayer, Rapapa Amra.
wasn't said by Abaya, it was said by Rapapa. And the way the Mefarshim explained, Rapapa was a Talmud both of Abaya and Rava. And when he used to say something, the Talmidim did not know if what he's saying, is he saying it because he heard it from Abaya, or is he saying it because he heard it from Rava. So here they made the mistake that they thought what Rapapa was saying, he heard it from Abaya. But actually, he had not heard it from Abaya, he had actually heard it from Rava, and therefore there is no stira in the opinions of Abaya.